Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Hold on, I gotta adjust something real quick. There we go. Hope you're all doing well. Welcome to the Packers Daily on the Cheesehead TV social channels. And hello to Corey Mansky, who clearly wants them to tag Aaron Jones. I don't know, man. I don't think incessantly typing tag Aaron Jones into the comment section of a YouTube chat is going to change Brian Gutekunst's mind, but you are welcome to try, sir. Hello to everybody. Drew, good morning. Kevin, how are you? It's your birthday, Kevin. Happy birthday, man. Go Pack, go. Can I get an Aaron Jones contract or at least a franchise tag? I can't not help you, sir. But happy birthday. Vince, here for the intro music. Stay for the witty commentary. Morning, Nags. Yeah, witty is in quotes appropriately. Gary, yo, what's up, man? I'm sad because of the WandaVision finale. William, let me tell you, and this is true. Olive texted me. Her first class is usually at 8:30 in the morning. So she got up to watch the WandaVision finale prior to class. And I got a all caps text at 8 a.m. I hate Marvel. And then the next text was, call me right now. And so I called Olive and she proceeded to basically threaten the lives of everyone who creates that show for about 10 minutes. So I guess she's really upset, but I'm sure people have their theories and their beliefs and what have you. I'm just happy to see that she's really involved in something. Good morning, Nags. Time to plant. What's up, Danny? How are you? What does a realistic Packers offer to Fuller look like? That's a great question. I got to think it's in the lines of, I would think it's got to be for 3 years to try and play with that year where the money is going to go up from the new television deals. Because if it's a 2 year deal, I don't know how it's tenable. I really don't. I'm fascinated to find out, but we'll see. Aaron, I'm here in my car. I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Matt with a Gary Newman shout out. I appreciate it, man. That's good shit. What are the odds of MVS pricing himself out of Green Bay next year? I would say somewhat decent. I know everyone's ready to ride him out of town on a rail, but I think they would miss him. I do think, you know, the Packers are always or almost always pretty proactive about that kind of thing. I know there's a bit of consternation in the fan base because of the fact that there isn't a wide receiver under contract after next year. I tend to think they'll get Adams done. And I think there's a good chance they extend MVS at some point, but we'll see. Need to let Preston move on. Your thoughts? I've talked about this a lot. I get where Brian's coming from as far as keeping him around. I think he's a lot better than most people, and obviously including yourself, seem to think. I know his production went way down. I do think he played a lot better in the second half of the season, even though the sack numbers weren't there. I think Brian is betting that at least he'll meet in the middle. I know the first month and a half of his season really colored perceptions of him, but I understand, especially in a season where they've got a lot of holes to fill, the salary cap is totally messed up. If you release him, you're just creating another hole. And I understand the idea of, well, you're going to pay him and you're not getting the production, but you know, not getting the production, quote unquote, is not a sure thing. I think the smart bet on Brian's part here is I think he's going to rebound and at least kind of meet in the middle. I don't think he's ever going to replicate what we saw coming out of the gate 2 years ago, but you need a rotation there at that outside backer spot. Hell, I would contend they still need one to make it four. And if you release him now, you're going to need two. So yeah. And again, I think there's lots of stuff he does well that no one ever talks about just because he didn't sack the quarterback a lot. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Oh, I mean, almost missed it. With a lack of depth at defensive line in the upcoming draft, should we be concerned with free agents at the position becoming too costly as a result? I don't know if worrying is going to do you any good, buddy, but you are welcome to. I think there's a good chance, yeah, that a lot of the defensive tackles that are going to be on the market will get paid early and often and price themselves right out of the market for Green Bay. You know, look, I understand, yes, you are correct in the sense that, you know, the word on this draft is, you know, D-line is shallow. You know, there's not a lot of depth there. But that doesn't mean you still can't find players any time during the draft. I mean, it's an inexact science. you know, finding a Mike Daniels in the fourth round is a obvious bit of a stroke of luck, but it's also a product of hard work and guys scouting and Green Bay realizing the value there. And, you know, do I think they're going to find another Mike Daniels? No. But the possibility exists that there's someone, say, in the late in the day two or even early day three, who could come in and contribute right away. Will that happen? I don't know. But to dismiss it as a possibility, I think, is silly. History will tell you that just because a certain position group is, quote unquote, shallow or doesn't have a lot of depth doesn't mean you can't find guys at that position group to contribute right away, too. What's going to happen to Snacks Harrison? I do not know. I know Brian was obviously very hot on getting the guy all last year, and then he finally did towards the end of the season. We didn't get Snacks for availability at the end of the year. Usually there's an open locker room, so I think he probably would have been sought out to ask that question. But, you know, he's been pretty quiet about it. Obviously, there's been no real way to ask him about it. So if he wants to play, I would think the Packers would explore bringing him back. But first, he's got to want to play, and I don't know if that's the case. Nick, thanks for the super chat. If Preston Smith gets 4 batted passes per game, I'm good. Works for me, man. I mean, he's probably getting paid a little bit more than you'd be happy with 4 batted passes, but I understand what you're saying. Veldeer, he's an unrestricted free agent. That was one thing I was going to ask with my second question to Brian. I got to ask the one. The media setup's so frustrating, because if it was at the combine, we'd be able to ask him 100 questions. But the second question I was going to ask is, why did it take so long to sign Jerry Veldeer? He had indicated early in the season, like as early as week 3, that he was open and ready and willing to come back to Green Bay, to Green Bay specifically. And, you know, they didn't sign him. And then they finally did get to get him after the Colts lost that playoff game. Then obviously he landed on the COVID list. You know, maybe if you bring him in at the beginning of the year and he's in the Green Bay process throughout the season, that doesn't happen. And then you have a backup tackle when David Bakhtiari gets injured, rather than scrambling, you know. So I don't know if they see him as a possibility, especially with, you know, Bakhtiari coming back, not being any lock as far as like being ready for the start of the season. I think Veldeer would make a lot of sense if A, again, he wants to play, and B, they can carry that, you know, that player who you would think would probably start right away. But then when Bakhtiari comes back, he's probably going to be relegated to the bench. He's not going to help you on special teams. So maybe that was the thinking behind not signing him, but it seems silly, especially in light of everything that happened in that NFC Championship game. Hey, Nags, what's your 2021 season prediction? That they'll play it. That's all I got, man. It's March, dude. I don't know. Can we watch these teams construct their rosters? I'll give you this. They'll be the favorites for the NFC North. That's all I got for you. Big B is here. Jamal Williams is the GOAT. The GOATs. Loving it. Loving it. I don't think Preston will be used in coverage as much as last year. I hope so. I hope not. I think I'm with you. Brandy, why do some organizations draft positions better than others? For example, the Packers with O-line and the Steelers with receivers. That's a really good question, and there's not a true, like, lock solid answer. And you know, the Packers have done an amazing job, especially on day 3, of finding talent at the offensive line position. Maybe it's just the history of who they have doing the scouting, the thresholds that they use, the parameters they put in place as far as how they train their scouts. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, but it's funny because Ted not only did great with offensive line, but he was pretty damn good at finding wide receivers as well, you know, especially in the second and third rounds between Jordy and James Jones. Greg Jennings, guy had a pretty good eye. So, yeah, I do think some guys just have a natural knack for spotting talent at certain positions, and it seems to extend sometimes down the ranks and into the scouting department. With 10 picks, isn't a trade up in the first most likely? I don't know, Thomas. I think it all depends on if there's a conviction on a player. I mean, that's what happened last year with Jordan Love. Obviously, Brian really liked the player and had that fourth round pick to burn in his eyes and went up and got him. I think it would really have to be someone he feels strongly about. And now look, he's traded in the first round every year. So I think there's a good possibility we'll see him move up or down. I tend to think he'll probably move down since this is a year where they don't have as much information on these guys. And yes, there's 10 picks, but that's just currency. That doesn't mean you're going to execute all those picks. Maybe they utilize some of them after they trade down to get, say, 2 second-round picks or 3 second-round picks or something like that. I don't know. And it all depends on where they see the value falling on their tiers and how many grades they have as far as first-rounders. If all their first, like, say, usually there's between 10 and 15 first-round grades in any given draft class, maybe sometimes up to 20, although that doesn't tend to happen a lot. But say all of those guys are exhausted, why would you trade up? You know, if maybe if there's someone, again, that they absolutely love that is falling, that gets to 20 or is falling to 22 or something, then maybe they make that jump up, a first round grade that they think is a real value, which is what kind of what happened with Jordan Love last year, because he was the final guy with a first round grade that was remaining on their board. So yeah, could they jump up again? It's really dependent on his conviction on a player. But I would think my hunch, my suspicion is that he'll, if he entertains a trade, it'll be about trading down, because the more swings the plate this year, the better off you're going to be, in the sense of there's just not nearly as much information as usual on these draft picks. Pax, what she said, sweet shirt. Thanks. Make sure you check out every week. Maggie and Perry do a great job. Michelle Bruton was the guest this week. It's just phenomenal stuff. They do so much like homework, and it really shows on the pod each and every week. They know what the hell they're talking about. They're obviously insane Packers fans. Cannot recommend it enough. That's what she said. Get it. And if you want a shirt, go to the store, cheeseheadtv.com. The link on the top says store. That'll take you to our Teespring account, and these are featured right there. Here we go. We got some super chats. Sorry, guys. William, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, what is your favorite song of all time? Doesn't matter your mood. Mine is Boston More Than a Feeling. All right. My favorite song. Wow. Whew, man, that's a curveball right there. For a long time, it was a song called It Doesn't Matter by Depeche Mode. It was featured. It's the fourth track on their album called Some Great Reward. But as of late, I think my favorite song right now is Losing My Mind by Stephen Sondheim. But it has to be the version that he sings. It's almost like a demo. It's just him and a piano. And it is perfection. It's a great question. Thanks for that. That was fun. Big Cheese, what's up? Happy Friday. How are you, Big Cheese? Thanks for the super chat. I know that there were some interest in Will Fuller at the trade deadline last season. You think after they free up some cap space, they may explore bringing him in? 100%. You heard Rob Domofsky put that out there on ESPN yesterday morning. Rob doesn't do that unless he's heard something. I don't think there's any question that Will Fuller will be on their radar. And like you say, they did have interest in trading for him last year. The Texans wouldn't budge on their asking price, which was a second round. The Packers were offering a fourth. No one would meet in the middle on a third. Which I guess I understand. As I said on Twitter, though, yesterday, you know, another guy that they showed interest in trading for was Dalvin Tomlinson, the defensive tackle with the Giants. And I don't even know if he'll hit the market. But if he does, I know who I'd pick. Get Kenny some help. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about that. Vox, thanks for the super chat. Or Vex, sorry, Vex. Why did the Packers abandon the run in both NFC Championship game losses? I wish I knew. I almost asked LaFleur about that, but I didn't want to waste a question. But it drives me insane. It drives me absolutely insane. I spent all week, both weeks, talking about how they had to pound the football. And then literally on the mic'd up of this last one, you hear LaFleur going, well, I guess we got to spread it out, throw it around. No, no. And look, I understand it's hard. I understand Vita Vey and Sue are there. And I understand they got a really good defensive front. And I get you're kind of banging your head against the wall. But run the fucking ball, man. Vex, why? Why, man? I mean, to answer your question, why did they? Because they have Aaron Rodgers. That is it. Like, you can talk about matchups and whatever coverages they were playing. But why? Because they have Aaron Rodgers. And that's been their offense all year long. He was MVP, so they were going to ride and die with their offense. You saw the same thing with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. they needed to run the football. They had backup tackles. They were like getting eaten alive up front, and Andy kept throwing it around the yard. You know, these coaches, this is our thing. It's what we're going to do. Mike McCarthy was the same way. And when the matchups work for you, it's great. But when you're clearly overmatched up front, run the fucking ball. These coaches are too damn stubborn to go that route. And LaFleur is right there with them. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You got a Jedi back there, man. We're going to make it happen. Yeah, well, here comes Darth Vader to strike you down. Vex, what, you know, I was having such a good morning too, man. Dawson, thanks for the super chat. Nags, any realistic draft crushes at cornerback yet? Asante Samuel Jr., let's go! Love that kid. What else we got? TKM, at your post, what's up? Nags, Kroll's, West, Chili John's, or... Come on. It's Kroll's. Like, why are you... That's not even a question. Did you just ask that? Come on. Moises, thank you for the super chat. What difference will we see between Barry and Pettine's defenses? Thank you for all you do, Nags. Well, thank you for the super chat, and thanks for the support. What differences will we see? It's hard to say early on, because we don't know a whole lot about how he wants to operate outside of the really 30,000-foot stuff he gave us at the press conference the other day. And obviously, there hasn't been a whole lot of reporting around it. They've only been in the building for 2 weeks. I suspect, you know, the idea being they want to run a lot of what the Rams were doing last year, not specifically the Fangio stuff that Vic has had basically since his days with the Bears, but it comes out of that system. The biggest thing that we kept hearing from Matt and Aaron the week leading up to the Rams game was how the coverages and the shell, so to speak, was very similar from play to play. And it made the quarterback work hard after the snap to figure out, okay, that guy's dropping, this guy's coming in. Okay, now it's, I see it's cover three. Okay, now I see it's cover two. Okay, now it's two man, whatever. That's usually, not always, but usually something that the quarterback can use motion and dictate and manipulate and figure out, okay, they're playing man. Okay, this is going to be cover three before the snap of the ball. The Rams last year did an excellent job of keeping quarterbacks on their toes. And I think that's something that really appealed to Matt LaFleur. Again, who knows if he'll, you know, ever admit that. But I think what they want is to be able to show a static slash similar look pre-snap from down to down, and then, you know, get into whatever right before the snap or at the snap of the ball, whatever their actual coverage is. And, you know, I think that will be very different than what we saw from Pettine, where pre-snap it was really static and you could really kind of guess what they were going to be in before you snap the ball. Whereas this is, okay, it's the same look, but every coverage is different. Whereas with Pettine, it was like, okay, they're here. Okay, this is going to be cover two. Or they're here, this is going to be two man. Or this is single high, it's probably a cover three. Like, you could kind of work out what he was going to do. To me, that's the biggest, again, this is really rudimentary. I'm really making it a Aaron Nagler dumbed down version for myself more than anything. But that's one of the major differences. Not the only difference, but to me, that's going to be a noticeable difference, most likely. RC, thanks for the super chat. Past year, running back room may be the best of 12's career. Possibility. Very possible. They were hella talented. No doubt about that. And that is, you know, an explosive back in Aaron Jones as you'll ever see in the NFL. So, yeah, it's pretty damn good. What do we got? When do we get a confirmed cap number? No idea, Robin. Whenever they figure it out and announce it. I had said earlier, I think mid-February, that I expected it to be the first week of March. Well, I got about a day until I'm wrong. Nagler's never right, but we'll see. We should lock up Jair as quick as possible before he gets too expensive or wants out of Green Bay. I mean, yeah, I think they'll be proactive about it. I don't think he wants out of Green Bay. I think he loves it there. He's obviously an excellent player, a core player, and the Packers do not let those guys get away. You know, don't forget, they've got the fifth-year option waiting for them next season, but I think they'll get out ahead of that and get him extended sooner rather than later, especially with this offseason and the need to get cap relief. I think they would be amiable to extending him early and then, you know, giving him a palpable cap hit and pushing some money to, you know, 2023, when hopefully the cap explodes. If they bring Snacks back, regardless of price, they need to play him. Hey, I'm with you, man. Totally agree. It's kind of frustrating. Time will tell. If the chips fall where they do, we'll complain later. Gary, never has a comment completely encapsulated the Packers fan experience more than that. Well done. It sounds like a good place to leave it. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers with me each and every day this week. It's always tons of fun. And I really appreciate that you make GSAT TV part of your Packers routine. There are a lot of places you can go and probably do go to get Packers content. That GSAT TV is even a small part of it. It means the world to me. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel. And if you really want to support what we do, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. It goes a long way to support everything we do. As I always say, almost every place you go on the internet that covers the Packers has some kind of corporate backing. If you go high enough up the chain, they have corporate money behind them. We are completely 100% bootstrapped. We survive and thrive only by the support of our Patreon members and the people who do super chats, etc. And it really means the world to us that we basically get to stay independent because of it. If you can't do Patreon, totally understand, but please consider hitting like, subscribing to the channel, and then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Go Pack, go.